It's always, in my mind's eye, it's always great to start a study, a series. I like to teach in series rather than just take a shotgun blast every week and hoping. But I like series. I like to build. But it's always good to come to the end of a series. There's a certain energy that comes at the beginning of a series. Expectation, wonder what's going to be said, and then there's the aspect of finishing something. I don't always necessarily, my workshop is usually just a memorial to unfinished projects, and so there's a certain amount of satisfaction that comes with finishing a series. Now, I will say this, I've not said everything that could be said or preached on when it comes to spiritual warfare, my life as a believer, putting on the armor of God and living my life every day. I mean, that would be a lifelong study. But if you think about it, we've talked about an awful lot. And as we go through the 5 points I put together today, some of it will be just things that we talked about before, just reminding, maybe summing some things up, and then a charge that goes along with that. And if you'll take your handout sheet and follow along if you want to, and I left the back empty, you can draw a picture of me if you get bored, and so we'll see who wins that contest at the end. And so in my former ministry, they had some pretty good artwork come out of the class, out of the preaching, so that would either tell you how boring the message was or how much a person wanted to practice their art skills. I would sooner think of it that way. But as we start with number one, we come with something that I said over and over and over, and at the fear of being redundant, I think that we need to always remember this, and number one is this: the enemy will strike. We have an enemy. That enemy is not people. Ephesians chapter 6 makes it very clear, and if there's one point that I must remember, it's that point, because I have a tendency sometimes to think people are the enemy, but the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means we wrestle not against people. And being the fact that we are in a national election, and if your home is like my home, I'm just sick to death of political advertisements. But I can't afford to break my TV because I don't want to buy another one. Right? And I've gotten to the point where I don't scream at the television no more because I realize they have microphones in there and they're listening to everything we say. Right? You think, is he really serious? Well, there's a black helicopter. There's an espionage plane 5 miles up listening every word I say today. I know it, right? That's why when I leave, I put aluminum foil on my head so that they can't read my thoughts, right? Now you say, Pastor, you're scaring me. No, I mean, that's just a trip down memory lane, right? That's just a trip where we think in a humorous way. But actually, I have to be reminded that Satan does want to destroy me. He wants to destroy my testimony. He wants to destroy my walk. He wants to destroy my influence. He wants to destroy every aspect of my life that reaches into the life of other people, whether it be in my own family, whether it be in the workplace, in the community, or wherever I find myself. Amen? And guess what? Just not only me, he wants to do that too. See, when we look at this, we should never forget the devil's purposes. And on your handout sheet, I've listed 4 of them, right? His purpose is to do this. He wants to draw you and me away from God. That means this. He wants us to become so thoughtful of other things. See, I remember hearing this in college one time. Variety is the spice of life, right? Did you ever hear that? People say this, well, I become bored. Well, you need a little variety in your life. Do you realize this? As Americans, I don't think that we are in danger of having too much selection in our life. Come on now, amen? I don't think we're in danger of sitting around. Watch this. People say this, oh, there's just nothing to do. Really? Did you ever hear somebody say that? Well, we say that all the time. In the midst of all these electronic devices, do you realize this? Is that, you know, we don't even have to worry about, gambling, going to the casinos. We can do that right on our devices. Right? We can do all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of games that can preoccupy our mind. See, Satan wants to draw me away from God. That doesn't mean that the flip side of that is, well, my pastor says this when I leave. Here's what I need to do. I need to go home and say, walk around, holy, holy, holy. Oh, today's just a wonderful day. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And that's all we do all day. And it's just like I'm driving down the Karma Road. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. What are you doing? Well, I'm not going to fall into that danger. I'm going to think about God all day long, right? And then you're asking God to bless everybody down the road that's pulling in front of you. Right, Jade? Hey, man, she was sharing some things. And she said, you know, what you said really works. She didn't run into him. Hallelujah. Wonderful. It's great to get the victory, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Did I say this last week? Probably. My brother, he stops by the house and he gives me all these notes to say. I followed somebody over Deamer Hill 23 miles an hour. I couldn't believe it, and I stayed behind him for 3 miles and didn't kill him and did not hunt him down, find out where they parked or anything, just to check their license. But I do know this. I don't know how many times in my life I wished I was a state policeman. Right? Okay, but anyways, I digress. Number two is to thwart God's purpose for my life. Do you realize this? God has a purpose for your life. God is using you right now. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm being used. Let me ask you something. Did you ever think about this? How many people are watching your life? Satan wants to thwart, if I can say that right, that's a tough word to say, that purpose in your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do it in my life. You got up today, you got cleaned up a little bit, you came into church, and you think, well, no one saw you. Did you realize this? There's more people saw you come to church than what you think saw you. Oh, yeah. And you know what? What we want to do is we say, okay, this is God's purpose for my life, and whether it be the club's kicked off this week, it's just so wonderful to see these young people bouncing off the walls. It's great coming to church and seeing Karen. She's watched a few of my sermons already. So she was running out of that pool out there, right? Today? She said, yeah, Kim said, I don't know how she has all that energy. She was doing somersaults in bed all night last night. Hey, that's what, she can go 3-4 days yet before she winds down. What are you talking about? You know, I preach a sermon like this. I move around a little bit. I go home and go, oh, right? But subtract 40 years off your life, 50 years off your life, 60 years off your life, and that's exactly what you were doing. So anyways, and we don't realize this as we think, okay, we got those ministries that we're part of, and that certainly is God's purpose for my life. You know, that might be one avenue of service, but there's a whole host of ways that God is using you and me right now that we are not even aware of. Amen? Hallelujah. That's wonderful. You know why that is? Because that means I serve God. That's powerful stuff, is it not? I can remember being at the Planet Wood Moat, and all you have to do is slip up, and you'd have people say, I didn't know Christians did that. I didn't know Christians did that. That would be, and then after I hit them, and they're laying on the floor, and then they'd say, I certainly never expected you to do that. Right? No, I never did that. Felt like it a few times. But see what I'm saying? Did you ever have anybody say that? How does that make you feel? Like, I used to, sometimes the unsaved have a better grasp on what Christians are supposed to do because they kept reminding me what I was supposed to be doing. So anyways, I digress again. Now, the third one is to deny the glory of God in my life. See, Satan wants to distract Dave Dressler. He wants to distract you from us living to his glory. That means this, is that sometimes, and I want you to write this down. I should have had this on a PowerPoint, but I just thought of it, because I'm not done studying yet. I'm studying while I'm up here yet, okay? Is that a point like this, to deny the glory of God in my life, will be I will begin to look at something rather than if it's good as to whether it glorifies God. Because there's an awful lot of good that we can do in our life that distracts us from living to the glory of God in our life. Too many times Christians walk around and say this, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You ever hear anybody say that? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah. But let me ask you something. Is there something better that God wants me to do? Where I start replacing the good with the better. That's what it means to live to the glory of God. And here's what Satan wants to do. Satan and the world and the flesh, that's our battle now, not flesh and blood, that's our battle, wants to attack us in this area that we might deny the glory of God in our life. God does not just want you and me to be a good citizen, but He wants us to be a good citizen, right? He does not just want us to be responsible people, but He wants us to be more than responsible people. He wants us to be godly, not simply good. Amen? Can I get an amen there? Okay, I thought maybe I was at the 8 o'clock service at Bakerburg. It was kind of quiet there, but, you know. And so, and if they listen online, they'll say amen too. And now watch this. And then here's the last one. The enemy will strike. We should never forget the devil's purposes. And then to destroy me in any way that he can. Now watch this. Now I'm going to draw off some lessons that we already heard, that we already studied. Satan is not God. Amen? Satan is a created being. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. Okay? See, omniscient means that he knows, God knows everything, right? The omniscience of God, right? You theologians out there, right? Satan does not know everything perfectly. Now, once again, he has a game plan that's been around for an awful long time, right? Now, come on, he's working on experience here a little bit. And then sometimes, you know what? We just give him all the information he needs. Hey, you know, I really struggle with this. Get in your prayer closet. You talk with God. As we were talking, praying in the Spirit last week, is that the Holy Spirit comes along and He helps us. He just doesn't take the load. He helps us. There's things that we don't know to pray for, but He knows. Satan wants to destroy me in any way that he can. So number two is this. Ask the Lord to help discern the true nature of the situation. And this is where we come to our passage in James. You say, oh, you just read that passage of Philemon. Well, that passage in James is really interesting, is it not? Talks about the Word of God, doesn't it? Now, if you look through that passage, it talks about... I remember that passage brings back fond memories of when Karen and I lived in Tennessee. And it was down at Mount Pisgah. That's when I first learned how to say Pisgah. Now, that, if you live in Tennessee, it's Pisgah. That's what... everything has an E on the end, Pisgah. And it's Pisgah. And, you know, I'll have to send Pastor Walls this message so he can pronounce it right, okay? But I can remember being down there, and there's a gentleman. He went home to be with the Lord, but he would sit on the front row. He was tall. He was taller than me. And Brother Walls asked him one time, he said, to pray. And he opened the service. And did you ever listen to somebody pray and they mess up in the prayer? Where, you know, and he's there and he's standing. I can still see him. He's standing there in the front row. Excuse my back. And he's bowing his head and he said, Lord, help us to be hearers of the word only and not doers. He got it all mixed up. And I'll tell you what, but God knew his heart, amen? God knew his heart. But as we are in this passage today, it talks about what? To be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, you notice in that passage twice, it uses the reference of deception. And the deception is that we deceive ourselves, is it not? Now notice this, here we are, you and I are in a battle. You and I have an enemy. And this battle comes to us in many different ways. And what we have to do is there's a word in there, in that I have a feeling. We must be discerners. We have to be able, with God's help and the help from His Word, to be able to determine the true nature of the situation in which we find ourselves. Now, notice this. This passage goes on, and it says this. Verse 22, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," it's that continuing, "Lord, help me to bring to bear in my life Your word in the situations in which I find myself." Because, you know what? I'm going to burst your bubble. Here's what happens. We think this week's going to go absolutely great, right? And you're just waiting for that first thing. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to have some struggles this week. We're going to have circumstances and situations confront us. And it might even be before you leave the building.
"Well, Pastor Dave, this is church. We ain't never supposed to have anything happen in church."
"Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, you just keep thinking that. You know what the Bible says? I am deceiving myself." Come on now, amen? "Oh, I don't know. You don't look convinced." Or better yet, maybe it's when you're heading over to a Pizza Hut, because they got a buffet there and you don't have to wait. Right, Steve?
Right.
Steve, him and Kathy there last week, he said, "You talked about it enough, I had to come. Just make sure you tell the waitress your pastor said so, then I get a free meal." Okay? Got to get that out there. That's the advertisement, Randy. We got the advertisement in. That keeps the pizza flowing. But you know what? Did you ever notice this? Traffic jams follow me. Does it follow you? Good. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's someone in the room. Amen. I'm riding with you for now on, because I got to see this. Or better yet, you walk into Walmart. Nobody at the cash register when you walk in, right? Nobody at the checkout line. As soon as I head towards the front, there's a signal that goes off. And everybody runs to the front. And I go, and then I'm one of these guys. I'm doing this. I'm... And you know what I'm doing? There's two in that line. There's three in that line. Ah, there's one in that line, but it's a big cart. Back 2 hours later, I checked out. Yes. Amen? That's happened to you before. Look at that. Yeah. See, watch this. They are called situations. That's what they're called. New word. Those are situations. Or better yet, you're standing there and you've heard a message like this. It's Monday morning and you are feeling especially holy. And a person is behind you with two items and you say, "Would you like to go ahead of me?" And then they stand there for 15 minutes trying to put money on a card. Right? I did that already. And it's just like, I think, "Okay, Lord, thank you." And I walk out the door and I say, I know, I am better for it. It just takes me a while to understand. Because remember, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for what? Come on, now what? Good. To them that love God, right? We shorten that and we paraphrase that. Everything happens in my life for my good and His glory, right? Well, you're with me on this. Okay. Now watch this. Number three. When Satan sends fiery darts of fear, guilt, lust, anger, pride, and other ungodly thoughts into the mind, refuse to allow those thoughts to lodge in us. See, now we're drawing off many different lessons. And what happens? See, those snares are out there. A lot of times we think is the attack is continual. And you might think, well, I'm here to say, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You can say, "Oh, no, my preacher fell off the wagon." We are not under constant duress from Satan. just like I think of, we got these really neat squirrels that moved in the backyard. I think the groundhog has been good for the community there because all kinds of wildlife is coming in. Okay? And so those squirrels will be out there and they'll be jumping around. They just don't know a 22 is going to go out the window one of these days and go, pew. They don't know that, right? But as soon as it goes, pew, then they all run. Or better yet, here's it. We've watched our daughter's dog this week, and it's having a two-year-old. Is Cooper 2 years old or three? Two-year-old golden retriever. Well, he doesn't even sleep laying down. He just sleeps hovering. You know, they just have that much energy. You walk in the door and it's like, I haven't seen you for 10 years. Ah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And when you open the door to go outside, now Mag, she just walks out. He, and those squirrels, it's neat. He almost catches the squirrels to the end of the lot. It is just absolutely great to see. See, those squirrels are out there, and they're out there feasting around, and the battle's coming. See, snares are set for small game to, while they are going on thinking everything is okay. It's like the snare gets them. But it doesn't get every one of them, right? And so what happens is this, is that now we're looking at thoughts that come in our mind. We have to refuse. You can't. A lot of times what happens is we think some pretty weird stuff sometimes, don't we? Do you ever think weird stuff? No, I know you don't. I do, right? That's just me. You know, I'm going down the road and New York plates are in front of me. I automatically always think it's the devil incarnate and they're out to run me off the road. I think that. And so then I have to let the voice of reason come. See, I gotta stop those thoughts and say, wait a minute, I can't do that. I know at least one person from New York. That's good. But they're in a nursing home. They're not going to be out driving. Right? So I got to reason myself. I can't let that. Did you realize this? Did you ever hear someone say something like this? Well, I really didn't get upset until I thought about it for a while. Now, wait a minute. Husbands, that's usually what your wife thinks. I'm sorry, ladies. That's terrible. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. I'll do two messages of Valentine's if you'll forgive me for that, right? Okay. But here's the thing. Isn't that what happens a lot of times? Something happens at work. You brush it off. That thought lingers in your mind. And you refuse to put that thought out of your mind. And the next thing you know, you're mad. You're upset. You're angry. Right? What happens? Well, you know what? We say, well, you know, Satan never works on us in the workplace, does he? See, that's battle-free zone. You know, there's a truce made up about 500 years ago between God and the devil. Don't bother the people when they're at work. Say, oh, okay. Is that true? Oh, no. That's why this is, we need to refuse to allow thoughts to lodge. And we need to meet those thoughts with the Word of God. See, watch this. When we are a doer of the Word and not a hearer of the Word, what happens in our life? We get victory. We make progress. We grow in Christ. Now, watch this. Have you ever said this, or have you ever heard someone say this? Well, I know what God's Word says, but. Right? That's the big but. That's what that is. And whatever you fill in the blank after that is where you are denying God's Word in your life. Amen? Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah. See, I'm one of these amen preachers. I had a guy tell me that one time. You know, you say amen too many times. And then I actually listen to one of my messages, and I do. I say amen way too many times. That's because you won't say amen. Right? Now, if you sit down in the front row and you do five amens a minute, I'm going to shut you down after a while, okay? That's maybe a little too much. There was a guy when I went to Bible college, Jack Howell's church out at First Baptist Church in Hammond. He'd sit there and go, amen, amen, amen. He'd say, now that's enough. And he'd stop him. I'm serious. Well, you only know. I could be lying through my teeth. Now watch this. Here we come, number four. We're making good time, aren't we? I haven't looked at the time lately. They hid the clock from me. Yeah, they did. Here we go. Let's see what time it is. Oh, it's 12:30. No, it's 11:30. You said, oh! Should I get this? Did I get that? Did I got it? Something happened. Learn to use God's word in resisting Satan. See, that's what it is. Now, notice this. If you'll just go over a page or two in your Bible to James chapter 4, okay? Notice this. Notice what James says in verse 7. Passage we looked at already. This is more or less review. But bringing it all together, tying it up in a nice bow, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Notice this. Now, I know I could read on, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. But I want to challenge you with this, is that when we read that passage, we think, oh, yes, okay, I know Satan's up. I know Satan's up. I'm going to resist him. What are you doing? I'm resisting. And so what we need to realize is that's why James also wrote that we deceive ourselves when we're not a doer of his word. See, we need to not only read the word and do it, we need to learn to use his word. And the example was, and we already taught on this, in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus, in what we call temptation of Christ, Satan comes, tempts Jesus, you're hungry, make these stones into bread. And that would have been the best bread in the world. Amen? Wouldn't it have been? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. And you know what he said? He said, McDonald's cheeseburgers. See, that's what that is. Man shall not live by bread alone, but McDonald's cheeseburgers, fish sandwiches, and chicken nuggets. Right? No. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, right? Isn't that the truth? Oh, yeah. So I need to learn to use God's word in resisting Satan. Because it says here in James chapter 4 is that Satan is coming and I need to resist him. And I need to resist him. And down here it says, draw nigh to God. How do I draw nigh to God? Well, I got to get my feelings in line. So watch this. I'm going to draw nigh to God. Oh, Lord, I just love you. Is that how we draw nigh to God? Or do we draw nigh to God by understanding his word, letting that word impact us, letting that word frame our thinking, and it comes out in our life? And what happens is we should not have our emotions lead our study. We need to have our study lead our emotions, because our emotions are emotions at best, and they can deceive us. Did you ever get up? Now, watch this. Did you ever get up someday and just not feel saved? You just feel crummy? Oh, yeah, it's every morning, because I'm not a morning person. Now, my brother Richard, he's here. He gets up. He's like Snoopy. You ever see Snoopy? And his ears are up in the air, and he's going around like this. That's my brother, okay? 8 o'clock at night, he's sitting on a chair going, you know, he's got the twitch going on. And I watch him take pictures of him, post them on Facebook. This is my brother. Yeah. Now, at 8 o'clock at night, I'm going like this, right? But I get up and, a lot of times we allow our emotions. You ever, we walk around in doubt. That's an emotion. Amen? And so we need to use God's word. And I realize that I've got to get my notes here. And then here's the last one. Look at that. We made it. We're going to finish the study. I hope I don't drop dead. And realize? I was in Mike's Sunday school class today, and he got down on the floor. He did. I couldn't believe it. That's because I laid down on the stage last week. He said, okay, it's okay to do that. So anyways, watch this. Stay dressed for the battle. That's what we're supposed to do. Stay dressed for the battle. That's what God's Word says. That's why we got this armor. That's why we try to understand what it is. That's why we try to look and see what it isn't. But I wonder, are we dressed for the battle? See, we need to put on the whole armor of God daily. We need to walk around. We need to be dressed. We need to have that We need to have that shield ready to pick up. We need to have that sword ready to pick up. We need to have that helmet ready to put on. We got the belt of truth on. We have the breastplate of righteousness on already. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's on already, because if you walk outside, as I do once in a while, since we have a nice little place out back, I'd walk out there and don't have my shoes on sometimes. Now, when I was little, I could go all summer without wearing shoes. But I'll tell you what, I'm 60 years old now, and my poor little feet are just so tender underneath there. Those little stones really hurt my feet. So I got to have my shoes on now. Right? And when we're saved, we're given that breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ in which we're clothed in. Amen? And we have the belt of truth, God's Word, those principles in God's Word. Stay dressed for the battle. That's what it is. That's what our study's been. I can't say everything that there is to say about the battle, because I don't know it all. I don't know how the battle will come to you this week. I don't even know how it'll come to me this week. But I do know this. God tells us Christ is sufficient and His Word is sufficient. Right? And watch this. He is sufficient. His Spirit guides us and teaches us. His Spirit comforts us and helps us. Amen? That's what it is. I'm afraid too many times we as Christians think this is what being a Christian is. Coming to church. Throwing something in the offering plate. Participating in a message. When actually, this is just a time where we come together as believers to worship God. To lift Him up. To encourage each other. But as we walk out these doors, we're just as much a Christian as when we come in and sit down. Amen? Satan wants to destroy your life and wants to destroy mine. Will we fight the battle? That's it. Let's pray.